Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. 2019 is being referred to as an off-year election year. While it is true that voters will not be casting ballots for any federal offices or high-profile state positions like governor or legislator, decisions will be made by voters in counties and municipalities across the state. But there are traditionally low voter turnouts for municipal elections, even though it can be argued that your lives are impacted more by what's decided locally than in Harrisburg or Washington. Meanwhile, local government and municipalities often don't have enough people running for office, volunteering, or getting involved in the community. We're going to discuss all this today with our guest, David Sanko, who is the executive director of the Pennsylvania State Association of Township Supervisors. Dave Sanko, good to see you again.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having us.
Also joining us is Doug Hill, executive director of the County Commissioners Association of Pennsylvania. Doug, always good to have you on the program.
Great to be with you, Scott.
If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. Think about this. The role that local governments play in your community, in your lives, give us a call. 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page, on Twitter. We're at Smart Talk WITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. So let me kind of explain the background of how this program came to be. Dave Sanko wrote an op-ed piece about how local municipalities needed more people to get involved, whether it was running for office, whether it was volunteer fire companies, just participating in the community. And as part of that column, Dave, he wrote talking about how there is such a low voter turnout, or in what's considered an off-year election, that many people don't show a whole lot of interest. So what was your motivation for writing that? What's your thinking? What's going on the local level?
Well, I think as you look at what happens in the national elections, there's always a lot of attention, a lot of focus on national media campaigns and 24/7 news and all that stuff. And as you kind of focus down at the state level, probably a little less, you focus down a little even further to the county level or drill down to the municipal level, there's not a lot of attention paid to that at all, even though those decisions affect you on a daily basis. And the people who serve in those offices are your neighbors. I mean, they can help fix things, and you can influence their ability to get things done in your community right away, far easier than looking off to Harrisburg or to Washington. So our goal was to try and encourage, to help everybody understand the value of being involved in their community, and to make sure that people get that volunteerism isn't just for your church and the soccer leagues and the youth groups, but there's also ways to volunteer in improving the quality of life in your community by participating in local government. Could be through a planning commission or a park commission or a shade tree commission, any variety of different ways.
Mm-hmm. So when you say that people's lives listening today could be impacted more by what's happening or decisions made on the local level, give us some examples.
Well, you're not going to find folks from Washington coming to plow your snow, or to patch your potholes, or to make sure that if you have a fire, somebody's going to put it out. I mean, these are local community-based decisions, land use planning, figuring out who goes where, and all of those things that how your trash gets picked up, where your water comes from, how your sewage is handled. Those are all local determinations, and quite frankly, are far better off being local determinations than being decided by some place, somebody in some faraway place. I mean, it was 300 plus years ago we figured out it was a bad idea to not have a king in a faraway land telling us what to do.
Doug, you've been on the program many times where we've talked about county priorities, and I'll be honest about it. One of the reasons I like doing that is because people are so impacted by decisions made on the county level. Talk about that. Well, before we do that, this year is an election year, an important year for county officials. County commissioners will be elected this year. So maybe explain or make the case why this election is so important, and then we can talk about the kind of things that have an impact on the lives of people from a county level.
Sure. I think probably the best way to illustrate it is I have a county commissioner who's taken to saying that He first ran for county government because he thought it was a stepping stone for higher office. And then after 12 years in the seat, he realized that county government is the higher office because he can do more for his constituents and his neighbors being a county commissioner than he could if he's sitting in a seat in the Pennsylvania General Assembly or in Congress. And it's because we have such a broad portfolio of services. You know, we keep the records, we do the courts, we have the prisons, corrections, we run the elections, we do the 911 services, human services, parks and recreation, land use, and it's so many things that touch people's lives every day in so many different ways that it's really an office that you can fulfill that personal need to help people's lives and to change your community.
Why then, and I don't want to say there's so little interest, because I've worked in rural counties where county commissioners are the celebrities in the county, but there is more interest in some counties than in others. Why then in this election year do we see such a low voter turnout? I'll start with you, Doug.
I think Dave hit it well, that there isn't that level of publicity. There isn't the sense of drama, I suppose, because really national and state elections have come to be cast one side against the other. And at the local level, what you find is you might be elected, registered from a particular party, but once you're in the seat, you know, folks say there's not a Republican or Democratic snowstorm. We have to plow the snow. You know, and so the partisan differences or the checkbox issues, the social hot buttons, tend not to flare up at the local level, and because you're actually sitting at the table together, finding a way to provide those services on a daily basis.
David, is very unusual, like on a township level, to have partisan differences. At least that's an observation. I mean, there are people who have differences of opinion.
Sure.
But at the same time, most of the time, it's not along Republican-Democratic lines, unless it's maybe a high-profile issue. Is that true?
I think as you look across the state, you'll find that at the local level, most of the decisions, most of the boards, a majority of unanimous decisions because there's not partisan divide. There's not, as Doug said, a Republican or Democrat way to fill a pothole or a Republican or Democrat way to plow the streets. There's the right way and there's the wrong way. And I think people that are involved in their communities make those decisions to be involved to do things the right way.
Mm. You know, something that struck me as we were talking about the lack of attention. Every day it seems as though we hear about another daily newspaper that is going out of business. Reading Eagle, not going out of business, but Reading Eagle, for example, announced a couple weeks ago that they're bankrupt and they're going to continue to put out a paper. But this used to be the media that covered local township supervisors meetings, county commissioners meetings. That's where people got their information. Now, there are still newspapers that do that. But this would seem to be a real issue if you don't have media covering the meetings, the things that are going on in municipalities or counties. People don't find out about it.
Well, it can be an issue, certainly. And for at least at the county level, we're resourced a little bit better, and most of the counties have a little bit more robust public relations efforts. So it includes social media. They'll have a more robust website. Many of them have Facebook and Twitter and other means. So they can at least let the public know this meeting's coming up. Here's the things that we're going to be doing. Now, admittedly, you know, you don't have the third party review of pro and con and each side and so on that the media itself
furnishes. That third party accountability, the role of the media.
Right.
Not that I wouldn't suggest that there are some things going on. But especially on the local level, Dave, I mean, it's county commissioner meetings are almost always covered, or were. But township supervisors, you know, there may be a stringer. There may be someone who, worked part-time for a newspaper, but there have to be some townships where that's not even occurring nowadays.
Sure. I'm going to say something a little provocative and suggest that
all right, you do that.
Maybe had the newspapers continued to cover local government options, and because people would go there to look for their stories. And as newspapers stopped covering local news and became more about larger national issues, and sometimes looking the same as everyone's just publishing a USA Today everywhere. And that's what's caused people perhaps to stop buying the newspapers and giving them some of their financial distress. So back to basics, back to local government, and maybe newspapers aren't any different than local government. It works in local community levels.
So it's almost like a chicken or the egg thing. If they would have been covered, maybe some papers would have. And it's not just papers. I mean, again, sure. I work in a rural area where, you know, at a radio station where we covered school board meetings. We covered township supervisor meetings. We covered county commissioner meetings were the big thing of the week, the big news story of the week. I always could get three or four stories. I don't know whether that happens anymore because there are so few commercial radio stations and TV stations that are covering these kind of events, too. Let's take a phone call from Phil in Lancaster. Phil, you're on the air.
Hi. So one of my biggest issues I've noticed as far as local elections is you don't really have anywhere to go. I know you guys mentioned the newspapers. You don't really have anywhere to go to actually look at what the different people's platforms are at the local level, like county commissioner or township or borough supervisor. So I find it really difficult to, even if I know when the election day is, I find it very difficult to informatively vote for any local government position because it's just, there's not really anywhere to go to find out what these representatives represent other than what party they are.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a good point.
The other thing is, my master's is in government, so I don't know that if I didn't have a degree in government political affairs, I don't know that I would even have a clue as to the power that the county has, as to the how important local legislation is, or even how it works. So like I said, if I didn't have my degree, I have no clue if I would even know about any of that. Mm-hmm. So even worse for people that have never studied it.
Hey, thank you very much for your call, but he makes a couple good points. You both have pointed out that the elections, the people running for these offices, don't advertise like those running for state legislature, governor, or you know, a federal office, something like that. So how is a voter to know where a candidate stands on issues?
Well, I think at the municipal level, I mean, you can go to the municipal meeting, you can go to your township meeting or your borough hall. You can, I mean, those folks who are serving in offices are likely a neighbor. I'm not suggesting you have to go knock on their door to pull their positions out of them because they ought to be reaching out to you and knocking on your doors as well, asking for your support. I mean, I appreciate Phil's interest in wanting to be an informed voter, and clearly that makes a whole lot of sense, and that's one of the reasons I don't know that I'm not necessarily a fan of encouraging 100% turnout because, I mean, I think it's more important to have informed voters participating than it is necessarily just filling the pool with people who think they want to offer an opinion.
True. But I'm sure you would want more than, say, a 20% voter turnout.
I want informed voters, would love there to be 100% informed voters and think that, you know, that interaction between residents and their elected officials is what's, or their candidates, is critical. I mean, smaller community levels, you can walk around, go to door to door. You can go to the firehouse, to the grocery store, to the church, to the ball field. You're going to run into those folks. Not so much the case when you're, you know, trying to see a candidate for Congress or Senate or state, larger offices. It's no criticism. It's just hard if you're running for state Senate to meet 250,000 people or 600,000+ when you're running for Congress.
Someone running for township supervisor. Now, obviously, you can't make a blanket statement because we have 2,500 municipalities in this state. But someone running for township supervisor, how do they campaign? What are the issues?
Quality of life in their community. In some cases, it's more about roads, safe roads. It's making sure there's safe communities, zoning issues, where the traffic light is, where the stop signs are. Those are things that can be done when your trash is going to get picked up, when Are we going to have public water? Or are we going to use work off of wells? Are we going to have public sewer? Do we want to have a park? And one of the things that I think local governments are incredibly good at is making the determination as to the difference between wants and needs. I mean, everybody would want to have everything. But you really, at the local level, you can kind of only do what you can afford, and you have to figure out what you need and then figure out how to pay for that, as opposed to this giant wish list of, you know, borrowing. I mean, you know, municipalities have to balance budgets at the end of the year. They don't have the option of not having a budget passed on time.
Mm-hmm. So, Doug, on the county level, how do candidates for commissioner run, or maybe even those for treasurer or prothonotary?
Sure. Well, it's many of the same kind of things, because the people running for those offices really are very closely connected in the community. And so there are numerous opportunities for that face-to-face contact, whether it's at the grocery store or, as Dave says, at the meetings or in other settings like that. I think the thing, too, is that in local office, it's much easier for groups who might have an interest in getting the public better educated about the candidate slate to have meet the candidate nights. It's easier to arrange the schedules and get people out on that smaller, more intimate local basis.
Mm-hmm. But as Phil said, Phil said he has a degree in government, but he doesn't even understand all the things that, from what you're saying, though, you're asking people to come out, voters to come out in public. And maybe it's because we've been accustomed to candidates coming to us. But shouldn't it be that way? I mean, shouldn't the candidates go out and knock on doors, go to meet people and say, here's some of the things that I think are important? And not necessarily want to make big changes, but, okay, I don't want to make big changes, but here's why I think I deserve your vote.
Oh, sure. And there's no question they're doing that. Both the candidates and friends and family are knocking on doors on their behalf as well. And they have the brochures and the yard signs, increasingly use of social media and other ways to get their positions out. And again, because you're dealing in a smaller community setting, it is a little bit easier to do that than if you're running for Congress or running for the state legislature.
So, Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, and they'll go to, I mean, those public meetings, but they may go to a volunteer fire company fish fry, or a church spaghetti dinner, or a Lions Club ham supper. I mean, there are a lot of places where community leaders or community residents will come together, and it's kind of like any place there's a half a dozen or any number of people that are gathered, candidates ought to be there.
Yeah. I like your thinking there. You mentioned three occasions where there's food involved, and the food is always good.
Oftentimes, food is a big draw.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Check out upcoming topics for Smart Talk at WITF.org/smarttalk. You can see some of the shows that we're working on, such as suicide after trauma, transportation funding, and that includes a growing fiscal crisis for the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and creating walkable communities. We invite you to share your questions in advance by sending us a voice memo or leaving voicemail. See what's coming up at WITF.org/smarttalk. Today we're talking about the local governments, talking about the municipal level, also the county level, why these elections that are going on this year are so important, why the decisions being made on the local level, on the county level, are important and have an impact on your lives. Give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at @SmartTalkWITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Our guest today, Doug Hill, Executive Director of the County Commissioners Association of Pennsylvania, and Dave Sanko, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania State Association of Township Supervisors. Okay, so we were talking about elections and how candidates are preparing for those elections. Doug, let me ask about county commissioners this year running. And again, every county is different. Some counties have priorities that are different than others. But there are some consistencies, some things that all counties are dealing with. Drug and alcohol, for one, that is administered on the county level. So if I'm a candidate for county commissioner this year, what are the priorities? What are the issues that I'm talking about?
Drug and alcohol in the broader category behavioral health is certainly something at the top of the list. We have responsibility to make sure that those services are provided and are provided in a way that's cost effective for the taxpayers. And it involves a number of different elements. Who's the population we serve? What's the relationship with the General Assembly? How do we pay for it? What providers do we use? How do we make the public aware of the services? And most particularly, drilling down into it, how do we provide prevention? And then how do we provide service and treatment once we've found people who need that help? And it's a broad spectrum. It's, you know, we talk about drug and alcohol, but it's also behavioral health, so mental health issues. Opioids, you know, remain a problem in Pennsylvania and in some places where we've begun to deal with the opioid issue, we see other drugs stepping back in to take that their place.
We had a program just a few weeks ago, meth is making a comeback here in Pennsylvania, and cocaine as well. But are there issues that strike a chord with voters when it comes to running for county commissioner?
A lot of times the focus will be on building the community. And so in addition to services, that's also things like how do we promote economic growth? How do we work at the county level with our municipal partners to make sure the full set of services are being delivered? What can we leverage to turn our local economy around or take advantages of the features that we have? You know, our shale gas counties, for example, are using impact fees to leverage economic development because we know shale gas is only going to last so long. What industries and what businesses are we going to bring in to replace those? What do we need to do to work with our school boards to make sure we have a trained workforce to be able to supply those businesses and attract them in?
I noticed you didn't mention taxes.
Well, taxes are always an issue, and you know, everybody can reflexively say, I'm going to keep taxes low, or I'm going to
comes out and says, you know what, I'm for higher taxes. I mean, we found out that there have been some candidates running for office, read my lips seems to ring a bell, that didn't make out very well when they mentioned that.
But part of what you do as a responsible candidate is to say, now, here's what this is going to mean, and part of it, too, is developing the broader strategy on how we're going to provide those services. So a lot of it at the county level, and this is a little bit less evident to the public maybe, but a lot of what we try to do is develop our relationship with Harrisburg and the General Assembly and of course, with our federal partners, because a lot of what we provide is direct result of federal or state mandate. Often the federal or state funding doesn't match what the local need is. And so part of the campaign as well is to the extent we can rebalance that relationship, we don't need to rely as much on the local property tax.
I'm curious, Dave, local taxes, municipal taxes are nowhere near as high as other school taxes, for example. But is that an issue when a township supervisor candidate is walking around talking to their neighbors?
I think it can be, but I think it comes back to that what I had said earlier about figuring out what the difference between your wants and your needs. If there are things, everything you want will cost you a boatload of money. Figuring out the things you need or that you're willing to pay for makes a big difference. We do have those unfunded mandates that come from Washington and Harrisburg, and are constantly on them to try and make sure that if they're going to pass the rules, you ought to put the funding up to do it as well.
So townships have unfunded mandates as well.
Absolutely.
Like what?
All the road signs, retro reflectivity. The federal government put some standards in place for how bright the road signs had to be. There are standards that come from EPA on stormwater, on how you can deal with it and where it has to go. It's the open records guidelines. I mean, townships have to spend, you know, countless hours and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars responding to commercial requests where, you know, companies are asking for information to help do their marketing, and it's being taxpayer subsidized.
Mm. Let's take a phone call from Michael in York. Michael, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning, all. I guess I just was back to the volunteering kind of thing. I felt being a transplant from a couple other states that the home rule, I guess, is the term we use to have so many jurisdictions and small government units and having paid people and such, that, you know, you're going to have trouble just statistically probably having enough volunteers, quote unquote. Although your more recent comments about some of the federal and state mandates does add a wrinkle to it in terms of you know, the amount of work that an elected official has to do. But I just somewhere in there it has to be a reduced expectation of what's available from government.
All right, thank you very much for your call. And, Dave, before you respond to that, we have an email from Jim. It says, while we love our local governments in Pennsylvania, it is long past time for reform of municipal governments and school districts to reflect substantial demographic changes across the state. We need statewide consolidation of both. Now, I'm not exactly sure what he's talking about with demographic, but you know the criticism, 2,500 municipalities, 500 local school districts, that we have too many local governments. And then, you know, we'll also follow up on what Michael had to say about, you know, why it is difficult to find people volunteering or getting involved in the community because of so many local governments.
I think one of the things that you find, and you referenced a little earlier, the local government is the number of local governments is more helpful as it relates to responsiveness, and you're far able to influence those decisions locally. I mean, I'm not going to suggest, and we have communities, neighboring communities who work side by side, who partner, who do intergovernmental cooperative agreements to do projects to save money. They do joint purchasing. They do, I mean, I have three townships where one has a paver, another one has the pickup truck for the blacktop, and another one has the crew. And they come together and they work together and pave each other's roads rather than three townships having three trucks and three crews and three rollers. So there's a lot of those cooperative ventures that go on, and it comes down to, are you willing to sacrifice the responsiveness of your local government to have leaders in some faraway place who may not know as much about your community, but know a lot about the community they're from? And I would suggest to you that the responsiveness level in the Pennsylvania model has worked and continues to work, and I would point to any number of other instances where they've done consolidation and done the bigger roll-up where it actually doesn't work. It's not as responsive, and it costs money.
What happened?
Well, I think we look to our neighbors to the south in Maryland. I mean, they don't have municipal governments. They go to the county level, and if you look comparatively, their taxes are markedly higher than what the combined taxes of Pennsylvania county schools and municipalities are.
Let's take a phone call from Vince in Lebanon. Vince, you're on the air. Hi, Vince. I think we lost Vince. Vince, one of the things he was going to say is that we mentioned that local elections were nonpartisan, and he disagrees. There is going to be partisanship no matter where you're involved. It's just, I think the point was that you don't see the kind of partisanship that you do on the state level or on especially the federal level nowadays, that you don't see that. Doug, you know, Dave just brought up a point and used Maryland as an example where everything is done by the county level. We have had people over the years who have suggested that we should run our school districts on the county level. As someone who oversees, you know, association with 67 counties, what would you think about that?
Well, I don't know that we want to do the schools, but our membership has stepped up to the plate when there were services that made more sense to be provided at the regional level. So if you go back to the 1980s, solid waste planning was a municipal responsibility, and it wasn't working, and they moved that up to the county level, and we were able to develop appropriate capacity and put in place recycling besides. And probably the better example was the early 90s, where 911 simply wasn't going to happen statewide in Pennsylvania at the municipal level. And it made sense for all of us to move that up to the county level. And within a couple of years, we had 911 deployed statewide.
But what? But both of those, of what you just mentioned, were very costly. 911, we're still, you know, for just a couple of years ago, counties were wondering where the money was going to come from. So, times that you've been on the program before, and I hope that we have regular listeners who have heard that, but one of the things that everyone, every branch of government, every level of government is looking for, some options for funding.
Mm-hmm.
County level, you're limited as to what you can do to raise money. Now, I'm not necessarily, I mean, no one wants to hear increased taxes, But when you're talking about those unfunded mandates and that kind of thing, what would counties like to be able to do?
Sure. Well, counties right now rely exclusively on the real property tax for anything that we don't make up in fees or in state and federal money. And what we would like to do is be able to have a tax base that is reflective of the local economy and local demographics. And so that would likely include options for earned income tax, personal income tax, or sales taxes. I will mention, though, you talked about 911, and that's one where we actually tied it back to user fees. And so there's a surcharge on your phone bills that helps to pay for the system. And I think that one, that particular system was remarkable in that we were able to devise a funding mechanism, and we were able to devise service delivery on a regional basis. Pennsylvania actually has one of the best 911 systems in the state, and certainly in the country, and certainly by most measures, one of the most efficient compared to the number of dispatch points that you see in any typical state.
So, on a township level, on a the municipal level, Dave, you're able to tax income, correct?
Yeah, the property tax and income tax are the only two options.
Do you need other options?
I think a broader menu would be helpful. But if people look at their tax bills and their municipal tax bills, their municipal tax bills by far are the lowest tax bill of any they have. Their schools are the highest, counties are in the middle, and the municipal taxes are the lowest. And I think if you look at the level of service and the value of the service, you're getting a good bang for the buck.
How do local municipalities, you gave a scenario, described a scenario where three municipalities were sharing equipment. How do you pay for that equipment?
Well, in those instances, one community bought one of the pieces, another community bought another piece.
Okay, with that instance, but say your typical township.
Oh,
they need a dump truck. They need a snow plow. They need a trash truck.
Sure.
Although that probably is contracted out, but still,
property tax.
Property tax would pay for it.
Property tax would pay for it. There's some level of liquid fuels reimbursement that comes from the state, but it's very small.
Mm-hmm. Does that concern you when we're getting away from gas-powered vehicles?
Well, and I think when you look at the amount of money that's collected and spent on transportation in Pennsylvania, and you realize that municipalities have a responsibility for over 70,000 miles of roads, and the Department of Transportation, PennDOT, has a responsibility for about 40,000. So local governments actually maintain almost twice as many roads on a small fraction of the funding that's made available that the state uses.
Mm. Let's take a phone call from Carolina in York. Carolina, you're on the air. Is it Carolina or Caroline?
Thank you. Yes, it's Carolina. Thank you.
Okay, all right.
I was just calling because, as the other caller said, it's really hard to understand who does what and how we can make suggestions or be informed about, for example, if I wanted to suggest something for the educational part, like including the curriculum civics, where the students would learn, like, which one of the representatives have the ability to make changes in their school budget, or which one of their representatives would be able to make changes in the health care offered for the state. So why wouldn't we have a school approach where the students would learn more about who does what, so that we can be informed citizens whenever we're voting in our local community leaders?
Thank you very much for your call. Civics. Now, you know, we hear that we need more civics education, but I think what Carolina is suggesting, a unique name, by the way, what Carolina is suggesting is that those civics classes include education about the county level and the local level. You'd love to see that, wouldn't you?
Carolina would find me in the back row of her choir. I'd be singing, trying to sing the loudest. She is absolutely on the mark. There needs to be more civic education. I thought we were on track for having that. There was some step back from at the state level. It ought to be encouraged, and frankly, everyone who graduates from high school, in my view, ought to be able to pass the same citizenship test that we would require of someone coming into our country.
Should they know what you do on the municipal level?
I think understanding all the levels of government is important. I mean, you look at the federal government, it has certain responsibilities it's supposed to do. It does defense with the armies and provides currency. The state does other things. Local governments do other things. I mean, the local governments ought not be raising their own army. The federal government takes care of that. Mm-hmm. There are things that each level takes care of, and those local levels work best.
Doug, I get the sense, and I think you've actually said this, I've heard you say this before, that part of your job is educating the public.
Right. And I think her comment was perfectly on, but I'll expand a little bit on what Dave said, because part of the difficulty is when you go to the local level, who do you ask? So if she wants something in the school curriculum, if you're from another state, if you're from Maryland, you would go to the county. In Pennsylvania, you go to the school board. And so helping the public differentiate among our local level governments is a bit of a task, but it's something that we're all trying to do a little bit better. We have our elected officials going out to local forums. Actually, April has Local Government Day coming up next week, and a lot of our county commissioners...
And it's Local Government Week next week,
and Local
right?
Government yeah. Week as well, and a lot of our county commissioners will be going out to schools and doing those kinds of presentations. Here's what I do, and here's where you go for this other service, and so on.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Coming up on tomorrow's Smart Talk, unfortunately, we've heard the news here in the last 2 weeks of three cases where people who have lost loved ones, family members, friends in mass shootings have taken their own lives. And there has been a lot of attention focused on suicide after trauma. And that's what we'll be focusing on tomorrow's program. Not just suicide after trauma, but suicide overall. But we will put a particular emphasis on suicide after trauma and preventing it. That's coming up on tomorrow's program. On today's show, we're talking about local municipality and county governments with Dave Sanko, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania State Association of Township Supervisors, and Doug Hill, Executive Director of the County Commissioners Association of Pennsylvania. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Dave Sanko, one of the issues that has garnered a lot of attention here in the last few years is police coverage. It used to be in Pennsylvania that almost every municipality had their own police force. Whether it was, well, okay, you're giving me, they, not true?
No.
Really?
No. There's
most of them did, though.
No.
No?
No.
I think you'll find we started off with everybody having state police. I mean, that's what it was. State
right.
police was the state that was a state highway patrol. And as communities grew, as they developed, they made local determinations. If they saw crime rates going up, if they needed to have a local police department, they could bring a local police department on. And that's, in fact, still the case. That state police is there as a safety net for everyone, and if you have a community that you choose to have police, or if you think you need additional police, or you want to have additional police, or you can afford additional police, you can put a local force on.
I stand corrected then, but I think it is accurate to say that many more municipalities had local police forces than do today. That municipalities, because they cannot afford to fund their own police departments, have been counting on state police coverage for their police patrols. There have been a number of people, including Governor Wolf, who have come out and said that they feel that the citizens, the residents of those townships that have state police patrol rather than a local police department should pay for it. There have been a number of proposals, one in which the governor made 2 years ago, $25 per person. That didn't fly. Now he has another formula, Governor Wolf has another formula that would tie it to population. This is something that a lot of township residents said, no, we can't afford that. But at the same time, there are other people say it's not fair that me living in a city or another municipality pay for a police force and you don't.
Well, but I think what you need to look at in that instance is, and we'll use, I'm going to just use two examples. A small community that does not have a local police department and has state police who patrols their area. That's the state police there do not enforce local ordinances. They simply do they simply respond and do traffic, normal state, they enforce state laws. We look to Philadelphia as an example, which has their own police department. In fact, the largest police department in Pennsylvania with over 5,000 officers. They also have state. They have a state police safety net. In fact, Philadelphia has over 30,000 state police dispatches a year. So, to use the governor's model, these communities that don't have a local police department would have to pay for state police coverage. But the city of Philadelphia, because they have a local police department and use far more state police services than anybody else, would not have to pay. And I would argue that that inverse is equally unfair. So, I mean, we would probably there's nothing wrong, I think, with sticking with the idea that the state police was and is a police force that covers all of Pennsylvania for certain safety features. And if a community wants to have more and can afford to have more, they will. You earlier made the point about communities that have can't afford to have police departments. And I think there have been a handful who have shut down. But I think that number has been relatively small. What the legislature really ought to do is take a look at some of the structural costs and structural problems that make those departments unaffordable and make some reforms to the process to make local police departments affordable and people could have them.
Mm-hmm. But would you, and I guess I'm looking for a yes-no answer, would you or would townships agree that, no, it's not a yes-no answer. I'm thinking out loud here, by the way.
You're looking for fairness and equity and parity. I think townships will be looking for the same thing.
All right. Well, is it fair? And okay, we'll use that word. Is it fair that township residents are not paying? Well, they are.
They are.
So, well, someone's paying for that state police coverage. And why this has become an issue is because the money that was raised by the gas tax that was increased 5 or 6 years ago that was supposed to go to transportation funding is now paying a lot more for state police coverage in local municipalities that don't have their local police departments.
The money that is going from the gas tax is paying for state police coverage across the board. It's not going just into communities
True.
That don't have police coverage. And in reality, if we look at the service coverage, it's not going into communities that don't have police coverage at all. It's going in to pay the pension costs that are controlling, driving most of the state police budget. So if we look at the total costs and residents saying, what are we willing to pay for? I mean, everybody pays income tax. Everybody, for that income tax, everybody gets state police service. If you want additional law enforcement, you agree to pay for additional law enforcement, you put an additional force on.
So
I don't think those townships are getting anything. They're not getting any more free state police coverage than the city of Philadelphia is getting free state police coverage.
So this is the yes or no question. So townships are not willing to do not think that they should be paying more for state police coverage.
Shouldn't be paying more than anybody else pays. If everybody needs to pay for state police, then everybody should pay for state police. If they want to say we're going to have a fee for service and we're going to charge for dispatch and you're going to pay, then okay, everybody pays, but Philadelphia has to pay too.
Let's take some phone calls. Here is Teddy from Lititz. Teddy from Lititz, you're on the air.
Hey. Hi, how are you?
We're doing well.
All right. So I'm actually one of the candidates that's running here in Manheim Township for school board. And one of the things that I have in mind in regards to making a difference or making at least a little bit of a better connection between local government is that I've actually have been reaching out to those who are running now and also some of the incumbents that are currently in the election process. And I want to know, like, what is some of the things that we should be doing in the local government to help the community as a whole in regards to having a better connection or a better contact? Like, one of the issues that we have here is regards to the Oregon Village development, which is affecting both the school overall, like the student population and all will be increased and impacted. And also it's affecting traffic, so that's something that's also related to the commissioner. So the commissioner's board is the only people making the decision on this. Mm. And I just feel that it is something that should be, when it's something that is as big as the Oregon Village development, it should be impacted or it should be a decision made by both the school board and the commission.
Thank you very much for your call. And what he's talking about is cooperation And, you know, he's saying that in this case, that Oregon Village Project is just a decision is being made on the township level rather than the school board having a say in it. What about that kind of cooperation?
Well, I think there's obviously always benefit to having cooperation between levels of government. But as we earlier referenced in the civics responsibility, I mean, each level, each type of government has specific responsibilities. I don't think the school board should want the town council or town commissioners to be starting to talk about dictating curriculum, nor do I think the school board would want to have interest in deciding where stop signs are.
But at the same time,
so it's kind of like, I mean, there's you want to cooperate, but you want to stay in your lane too.
But at the same time, I mean, let's face it. If it, and I don't know, I'm not familiar with that project. But if there's a big development being planned, it obviously has an impact on schools.
Sure.
Where students, you know, additional population of students, what schools they'll be attending. Is that something that supervisors take into account or planning commissions take into account?
Well, I think population growth affects both traffic, but it also, yeah, it affects the schools, but it also can be jobs. I mean, it doesn't have to be just a school. I mean, there can be a development that's coming along with a large economic development opportunity. And I think in those instances, when they're trying to attract that business, the builders and developers will oftentimes go to all levels of government. We'll go to the township and go to the school district and go to the county because they recognize there's going to be impacts at all those levels and look for how they can work that out and how they can be, in some cases, have tax incentives given from each of those communities to make it to ease the burden and in some cases to share some of the responsibilities.
Doug, do all Pennsylvania counties have planning commissions?
Yes.
They do?
Yes.
Those things that we just talked about, those are things that a planning commission on the county level takes into consideration.
That's
too.
Correct. The planning commission will have an opportunity to review and comment on the development application, and that's something they'll furnish to the township.
Mm-hmm. We only have a couple minutes left, and there's a lot of things that we've covered and a lot of other things we'd like to cover. We had a call here saying that township commissioners get a salary and Social Security and a state pension. She thinks that we should bring this point out because don't think it's known to the general public. There are salaries, Dave. What's the township supervisor make?
A township supervisor ranges, but the average township supervisor is less than $2,000.
Okay, that's the average in Pennsylvania. Some as high as?
Some can be as, the high is probably around $5,000.
Low?
Free. I mean, many people do. Many people work for free. I don't know. I've never met a single township supervisor who does what they do for the money.
Are there pensions in Social Security?
I don't think there are. Well, everybody has Social Security.
Right, right. But, but Social Security taken out, I guess, is what she's
But I don't. Well, again, if you're paying in, you would have Social Security withheld from your check.
From the check. Right.
But I don't know of any supervisors who are in a state pension plan. No.
Mm-hmm. County level, Doug. What about the salaries and pension plans?
Well, at the county level, because of the scope of services we provide, it most treated essentially as a full time job, and that's I think how it's commonly understood. And so, yes, it is a salaried position. The county establishes a salary, although not for themselves, for future boards. And the low is probably around $30,000. The high is probably a little over $100,000. And yes, if the county votes that way, they're eligible for benefits and to be in the pension plan. But again, because it is a largely full-time position, they are taking time out from whatever their other career may have been. And so they actually are living on that. And I'll mention as well, too, that even with the numbers I quoted, that's often below what the local market is, because when they set the salaries, they're sensitive to that point as well. And so almost all of them could do better back in their private sector employment.
We only have a minute left, and I want to thank both of you for being with us today. But let's make a case. You know, one of the things we didn't really talk about is because we have talked on the program before about needing the need for volunteer firefighters across the state, but other volunteers as well. If you would, Doug, make a case in 30 seconds or less for why people should go to the polls in May and November and vote for the county, not just county commissioners, but there are other positions as well.
local government is where the decisions are made that affect their daily lives. And the people who are elected are the ones not only who make local policy choices, but they're also the ones to make sure that the services that result from those policy choices are provided effectively so the people who need them get them, and efficiently so that the taxpayers get the best value for their dollar.
Dave, 30 seconds or less, Township Supervisor.
Everything Doug said, plus recognizing that those folks who are in Township office are your neighbors and your friends, and you can influence them because you can go to their meetings, but you also know where they live.
You know where they live. And that's just a knock on the door, and a friendly knock on the door, I should say.
Certainly my intent.
Dave Psycho, who is with the Pennsylvania State Association of Township Supervisors, Doug Hill with the County Commissioner Association of Pennsylvania. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Coming up on tomorrow's program again, kind of a somber topic. We're going to talk about suicide, especially suicide after trauma. That's coming up on tomorrow's Smart Talk, so be sure to tune in. We'll be right back.